parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. When he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said. 'When I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Hannah, I think you need to be my remote control for the next part. I'll have that. That would be helpful. Thank you. No, it's fine. Yeah. If you read books or watch films or serials, you'll have heroes and villains, the goody and the baddie. Whether it's Morse, whether it's Juliet Bravo, remember Juliet Bravo? Saturday night, yeah, just before Doctor Who. And Inspector Clouseau. They'll be the good and the bad. And we often put ourselves in the shoes of the good. Very rarely do we leave a program thinking, "I wish I was like whoever that bad guy or lady was." Likewise, in superhero films, you always want, as a kid, you always want to be like Spider-Man as you fly across the air, or Batman. Not many boys I know ask for a costume to be like the Joker. It's always Batman, isn't it? Never the Joker. Well, there are some certain characteristics in heroes and villains. So, a hero, they're generally strong, well-known, upright, respected. Likewise, the villains are dirty, in the sense of you can't trust them, untrustworthy. They're often the enemy, and they are often pretty disgusting, not very nice people. And in the Good Samaritan story that Jesus told, not many of us would put ourselves in the place of those religious people. We'd like to think we were the Good Samaritan. Isn't that true? You still with me? Yeah? We'd like to be the Good Samaritan. And you can guarantee me now that whenever a religious studies, an RE teacher or a primary school's teacher asks to do a Bible story, this is the number one story. Boys just love beating other boys up. You can see it, can't you, as they go away and they kind of reenact the story. It's just a well-known story that all of us know. And like I say, in this story, there are various characters, and it is a story, but it's a story that Jesus wants to make a clear point about. There is an unexpected hero. We know the unexpected hero is the Samaritan, is as he's described as the Good Samaritan. And we know Samaritans were the enemies of the Jews, who the Jews always looked down on the Samaritans because They didn't have the heritage. They didn't have the right religion. And they certainly didn't live in the right part of town or the right part of the country. And the surprise in the story is those who you'd expect to be the heroes are actually the enemies, the religious people, the guys who should know better, the guys who know right from wrong. But before we get into that story that Jesus told, the background really drives it home. It starts with a religious man, someone that knew his law. What we would probably call today is a theologian, someone that knew his scriptures, someone who knew what it was to follow the law. And in verse 25, he asks Jesus a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And it's a great question in some ways, but the problem is in the first part of the question. What must I do? Me-centered. See, in life, the religious get by because of their power, because of what they can do. And Jesus' answer to that question was this. He doesn't answer the question. He throws back a question to the man. Jesus says, what is written in the law? And the man replies, the theologian replies, how do you read it? And the man answers with the right answer. He answered, love the Lord your God, well-known phrase again, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then, this is the key. Following Jesus' words, verse 28, do this and you will live. So the man knows exactly what it is to follow God, what it is to obey the law, what it is to love God and to love his neighbor, or so we think. But verse 29, we see another issue for the man. Not only does he want to do something in order to earn favor, but he thinks he can justify himself. Verse 29, he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? The question here shouldn't have been, who is my neighbor? But to whom can I be a neighbor? He knew very well. There's always a loophole, isn't there? And Jesus teaches the absolute and unlimited nature of the duty of love in this story. The absolute and unlimited nature of the duty of love. A bit of a royal theme this evening. We've had Charles and his recommendation of Cap. Well, here's the Queen. We don't have the Queen on the screen, sadly. This is a word from the Queen on Christmas Day a few years ago. She said this, for me as a Christian, when Jesus answers the question, who is my neighbor, the implication by Jesus is clear. Everyone is our neighbor. I wonder which Bible college you went to. The implication by Jesus is clear. Everyone is our neighbor, no matter what race, creed, color. And in the thrust and the theme of this evening, we could add, including those whose bank balances aren't as healthy as ours. So who is our neighbor? And so Jesus then goes on to tell this parable, the parable that we know so well. Jesus shows us those two religious men, and we get the phrase, and they pass by. They didn't want to have anything to do with this man who had been beaten up. And yet we see the Samaritan. The Samaritan who shows mercy. The Samaritan who, like I said, was good. And all of us, like the man, all of us are like that man beaten up. We are all beaten up, downtrodden in some way. Okay, the Bible talks about sin. The Bible says that sin is at the root of all these things, whether it's debt, whether it's our own sinful behaviors and habits, at the root is death, is sin, and our own willful desire to live life independent of God. I want to put a verse up here which really speaks clearly of this. He is so rich, that's the Lord Jesus, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. Jesus is the one who took us as we were beaten and downtrodden. He picked us up. He was the one that took us to get ourselves back on our feet. See, we've all been blessed by the love of God. We've all seen God's mercy in action in our life. In CAP, they so often speak about debts, about bankruptcies, about basically being helpless. That was the picture of the man beaten up. Totally helpless. Totally powerless. And without God, that's all of us here this evening. Very easy, isn't it, to look at case studies, and it's really, really important to look at case studies because it drives us home. But it's not about people out there. It's like people like you and me and what goes within. We are all in need of the Son, the Samaritan, to save us and to forgive us our sins. And the responsibility for the man who was listening in was to make that same response, to follow the way of Jesus, to follow the way of the Good Samaritan. And that is our challenge this evening, isn't it? As we look at this, someone said these words, that we can't change the world. We can't change the world's finances. But we can change the world for one person. One person can't change the world, but we can change the world for one person. As we look at the cross, we see our sin. As we look at this cross, we see we are totally in debt of our God who sent our Lord Jesus to pay the penalty, to pay the price, to get us out of our debt, to get us out of our sin. And Jesus would say to us this evening, go and do likewise. Let me pray.